An effective executive does not need to be a leader in the sense that the term is now most commonly used. Harry Truman did not have 1 ounce of charisma, for example, yet he was among the most effective chief executives in U.S. history. Similarly, some of the best business and nonprofit CEOs I've worked with over a 65-year consulting career were not stereotypical leaders. They were all over the map in terms of their personalities, attitudes, values, strengths, and weaknesses. They ranged from extroverted to nearly reclusive, from easygoing to controlling, from generous to parsimonious. What made them all effective is that they followed the same 8 practices. 1. They asked, what needs to be done? 2. They asked, what is right for the enterprise? 3. They developed action plans. 4. They took responsibility for decisions. 5. They took responsibility for communicating. 6. They were focused on opportunities rather than problems. 7. They ran productive meetings. And 8. They thought and said we rather than I. The first 2 practices gave them the knowledge they needed. The next 4 helped them convert this knowledge into effective action. The last 2 ensured that the whole organization felt responsible and accountable. Get the knowledge you need. The first practice is to ask what needs to be done. Note that the question is not, what do I want to do? Asking what has to be done and taking the question seriously is crucial for managerial success. Failure to ask this question will render even the ablest executive ineffectual. When Truman became president in 1945, he knew exactly what he wanted to do: complete the economic and social reforms of Roosevelt's New Deal, which had been deferred by World War II. As soon as he asked what needed to be done, though, Truman realized that foreign affairs had absolute priority. He organized his working day so that it began with tutorials on foreign policy by the secretaries of state and defense. As a result, he became the most effective president in foreign affairs the United States has ever known. He contained communism in both Europe and Asia, and with the Marshall Plan triggered 50 years of worldwide economic growth. Similarly, Jack Welch realized that what needed to be done at General Electric when he took over as chief executive was not the overseas expansion he wanted to launch. It was getting rid of GE businesses that, no matter how profitable, couldn't be number 1 or number 2 in their industries. The answer to the question, what needs to be done, almost always contains more than 1 urgent task, but effective executives don't splinter themselves. They concentrate on 1 task, if at all possible. If they are among those people, a sizable minority, who work best with a change of pace in their working day, they pick 2 tasks. I have never encountered an executive who remains effective while tackling more than 2 tasks at a time. Hence, after asking what needs to be done, the effective executive sets priorities and sticks to them. For a CEO, the priority task might be redefining the company's mission. For a unit head, it might be redefining the unit's relationship with headquarters. Other tasks, no matter how important or appealing, are postponed. However, after completing the original top priority task, the executive resets priorities rather than moving on to number 2 from the original list. He asks, what must be done now? This generally results in new and different priorities. To refer again to America's best-known CEO, every 5 years, according to his autobiography, Jack Welch asked himself, what needs to be done now? And every time, he came up with a new and different priority. But Welch also thought through another issue before deciding where to concentrate his efforts for the next 5 years. He asked himself which of the 2 or 3 tasks at the top of the list he himself was best suited to undertake. Then he concentrated on that task. The others he delegated. Effective executives try to focus on jobs they'll do especially well. They know that enterprises perform if top management performs, and don't if it doesn't. Effective executives' second practice, fully as important as the first, is to ask, is this the right thing for the enterprise? They don't ask if it's right for the owners, the stock price, the employees, or the executives. Of course they know that shareholders, employees, and executives are important constituencies who have to support a decision, or at least acquiesce in it, if the choice is to be effective. They know that the share price is important not only for the shareholders, but also for the enterprise, since the price-to-earnings ratio sets the cost of capital. But they also know that a decision that isn't right for the enterprise will ultimately not be right for any of the stakeholders.